On the last episode of the Pop Culture Retrospective podcast, you heard the first part of my story about working at Walt Disney World. It has been 20 years since then, but not a day has gone by that I haven't thought about my experience there. On that episode, you heard about what it felt like to work there, including a typical day on the job, the mishaps with the guests who visit there, and what song often played in the Utilidor, the system of underground tunnels beneath the Magic Kingdom where I began and ended each workday. If you haven't listened yet to episode number 40, you may want to start there and then make your way back to this one. On this episode, we will continue our discussion and get into part two. You'll hear more from my memoir, where you'll find out about some of my more positive interactions with guests, a celebrity that I met during my time there, and what it felt like to be at Walt Disney World during the September 11th attacks and the holidays that followed. So, grab your Mickey ice cream bar, your sunscreen, and grab your iPod, because we're going back to 2001 when it was first released. Here we go. Hello, and thank you so very much for tuning into the Pop Culture Retrospective Podcast, a show inspired by, and in memory of, my big sister Rebecca, and her love for all things pop culture, especially the people, places, and things of the 1980s, 1990s, and early 2000s. My name is Amy Lewis, and I'm your captain aboard this pop culture time machine. You are tuning into episode number 41, Walt Disney World's 50th Anniversary Part 2, Reflections on Being a Cast Member, Continued. We'll continue the story by turning to Chapter 13, The Positive Side of Working and Living at Walt Disney World. Let's begin. So by now, I bet you are saying to yourself, all right, what is this girl's problem? Did she even like working at Disney World? Yes, I really did. Up until this point, every experience I had seemed to be kind of negative. I talked about some kind of silly stories. But actually, it was quite the opposite. Sure, the guests got on my nerves sometimes, but I just think that all of that is hilarious. Actually, the guests at Walt Disney World were, for the most part, some amazing people. I think what really affected me most were the children that we had as our visitors. Some of them probably appreciated being at Walt Disney World more than I ever will. Some of these kids were very, very sick. I saw kids with no hair. I saw kids in wheelchairs. I saw kids that I knew probably weren't going to live much longer, or had a very serious terminal illness. Some had a Make-A-Wish Foundation t-shirt on, and some did not. Whenever I saw kids that I knew were sick, and even if they weren't, I would do whatever I could to make their visit to our store as memorable as it could be, even if it meant giving them a Mickey sticker. It broke my heart to think that maybe visiting Walt Disney World was one of their dying wishes, and I knew that this was the case for many of the families that I saw walking through the store. Adults were no exception. I saw many sick adults as well. I saw women with sun hats on, obviously covering up potential chemo-inflicted hair loss. I saw people in wheelchairs with oxygen tubes running through their noses. I should have appreciated things a little more, and I think I did once I encountered those special guests. Most guests were really nice, and they were glad just to be at Walt Disney World. Most were really friendly, even with all of the crowds. They were very, very patient and nice to us when they checked out. The kids were equally happy, and they always made me smile when they told me that they had seen Mickey or their favorite Disney character. As much as it took a lot out of me, it was a life-changing experience when I began to naturally be nice to people because I wanted to. They paid $50 to get into the place. I think that I should be nice to people regardless of what management told me. I met guests from all over the world, and my favorite guests were the ones from England who ended each conversation with an enthusiastic cheers. The people that I had the chance to work with also made for an amazing time in Disney World. I worked with people that were from all parts of the world, anywhere from Germany to Puerto Rico. A woman I worked with was almost completely deaf, and she was able to read lips. It was amazing. Another woman had been working in the Magic Kingdom for 30 years, and she told me some amazing stories about her experience. Working at Disney meant great benefits. I got into all the parks for free whenever I wanted, and I also got discounts on merchandise and food. Whenever I had a day off or when I got out of work early, I always spent my time in the parks. I would go walk around the Magic Kingdom, ride a few rides, and once again study the merchandise in all the shops. How many people can say that after they got out of work, they went to Disney World? It was crazy. My favorite spot to visit was World Showcase in Epcot, where I could walk from country to country and immerse myself in the somewhat artificial cultures of other people. I loved visiting the parks by myself, and some of my best days I had in Disney World were when I was by myself. I had time to think. I had time to look at what was around me and appreciate being chosen for this experience. Disney also attracts a lot of famous people, which I fortunately had the chance to see and meet. One of my favorite days of the entire internship was a day I got to meet two members from my favorite group at the time, NSYNC, which I was obsessed with NSYNC. I saw them in concert 3 times, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Anyways, they were doing a press conference for their upcoming movie, On the Line, which is a horrible movie. Anyways, after answering questions from reporters for about 30 minutes, they came out and signed autographs and took pictures. I fortunately was able to get Lance's attention and got his autograph as well as a really good picture, which I turned into a Christmas card that was sent to all of my friends and family. I'll never forget what my grandma said to me when I talked to her on the phone. "I loved the Christmas card you sent me, Amy. Now, is that your boyfriend with you in the picture?" "No, Grandma, I wish." Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we're both gay. Anyways, I loved the fact that if I wasn't working, I got to visit one of the most popular vacation spots in the world. I loved the fact that I got to see and meet people from all over the world. I loved the fact that I was living in a world that, up until a few months prior, I only dreamt about. I was totally caught up in working and living at Disney World, and after becoming more and more comfortable, I didn't want to leave. Chapter 14, God Bless America. September 11th, 2001 is a day that I will never forget as long as I live, and I'm sure that applies to most people who were alive during that time. It was a day that changed not only America as a whole, but also me, which is a little dramatic. I remember the day very clearly because it truly affected me more than I thought that it would. I woke up that morning, brushed my teeth, washed my face, and turned on the television to watch the news like I did almost every morning. Watching TV on a 13-inch TV with a VCR built in, that was pretty nice. My sister called it my van TV. Anyways, after flipping through a few stations, something caught my eye on CNN. It looked like there was a large skyscraper smoking uncontrollably. I was quite shocked, but I didn't know what the whole story was just yet. After a few minutes of watching, I saw something that made my heart stop. A replay of a clip showed a plane crashing into the side of the building. At first, reporters were not really sure why it happened. Eventually, the story developed and they realized that there was a potential for terrorists being behind the crash. I still, to this day, cannot understand why someone would do something that terrible, but hate works in bad ways. Later, it was confirmed that terrorists were in fact behind the crash into New York's Twin Towers. After a few hours, the once landmark skyscrapers crumbled to the ground, killing thousands of people and impacting the lives of too many people. A few hours later, the Pentagon was also bombed once again, taking the lives of innocent people. It seemed to come out of nowhere, and I think all of those who saw or heard about the footage were nothing short of devastated and scared. I remember watching the clips over and over again of the structures crumbling and the screams heard in the background. I remember seeing people running away from the disaster like something out of Ghostbusters. I was in absolute and utter shock, and I could not accept the fact that it had happened. I was upset. New York is one of the highest represented states in the college program, so I know that a lot of the New York native college programmers, or CPs, were deeply hurt. Most spent the day crying and calling family back home. Kelly from upstairs was so upset that she called into work for the next 3 days. She is from New York. I was still watching the news hours later, and a message ran across the bottom of the screen that caught my eye. It said that Walt Disney World was closed and that all cast members should stay at home and not come into work. I called into work to just make sure that this information was true, and it was. The park had already opened that day, but 30 minutes later, the attacks occurred, and Disney World closed for only the second time in its history at that point. My manager told me to stay home, not come into work. From that point on, I was glued to the television. Again, a 13-inch tube television. Anyways, I spent the entire day totally and utterly stunned. I stared with an emotionless expression on my face at the horrible event playing over and over before my eyes. I watched as the event played over and over again. Plane flying too low to the ground. It hits and explodes into a large silver structure. An explosion. Gray dust flying through the air, people screaming, kids screaming. They're running, trying to get away, trying to get away. Firefighters in their trucks covering the streets. They are covered in dust. The street is covered in debris. Papers flying out of windows. People covering their faces as they run through the streets trying to get away. The buildings start to crumble and the screams are heard in the background. They are falling, falling. Gray smoke covers every part of the air. They go down, down. They're gone. I didn't know what to say, and I didn't know what to do. I started crying and immediately began calling my friends and family to tell them that I was okay. For the first time in my entire life, I told my friends that I loved them. I called the ones that were away at school or the ones that were at home to let them know that they were important to me. Anything can happen at any time, and I knew right then and there that life was valuable and people can get taken away from you. It was a terrible day, and I will never forget it. The next few days at Disney World were very, very sad. No one came to the parks, even though it opened the next day. It was deserted. People walked right onto rides, and we all got to leave work early. It was devastating. I will never forget the following day because there was a flag ceremony held right outside of the Emporium's door. I held back the tears as a memory of all that had just happened ran through my mind over and over again. The guests during the first few days after everything happened were different. They were patient and more easygoing. Everyone just seemed to be happy to be alive. Whenever I started to ring someone up, they would say in a soft voice, "How are you doing today?" "Good. I'm glad to be here." You couldn't help but smile and feel thankful at how much this whole event brought everyone together. People left the store and told me, "God bless you." And I said, "I didn't sneeze." No, they're saying, "God bless you." It was the strangest thing to see the guests go from being completely stressed out to being so appreciative of their lives. Many of our guests were from New York, and I always dubbed them our guests of honor. Things began to change at Walt Disney World in an attempt to take every necessary precaution for cast members and guests' safety. More security guards were hired, and half of a dozen stood outside the entrances to each of the four parks. Before September, there were never security guards at entrances. From September 12th on, before a guest or cast member could enter the parks, their bags would have to be looked through. It took so long for them to inspect bags that very long lines started forming outside of each of the gates. In addition, I started having to wear my ID around my neck as if my horrible costume didn't give away my working at the Magic Kingdom. And to this day, you still have to go through security. After everything happened, rumors began going around the college program. I heard that Disney could no longer afford to keep us since there was a significant drop in attendance at the parks. Other people said that Epcot was on the terrorist list of locations to bomb because of World Showcase, where there would be a diverse group of people to hit. I started freaking out. My mom told me that if a war were to break out, she wanted me to come home. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. Eventually, some international students left because their parents felt that it wasn't safe for them to be in America. It was truly just a sad time, and with the parks being so slow, it made life a little more depressing. One day, all the CPs were told that there was going to be a meeting held that afternoon. We were all nervous. Again, rumors started spreading that the meeting was about us leaving. Someone told me they heard that this meeting was to give us the axe. They had to let us go. They couldn't afford us, and they wanted us to be with our families at a time like this. Well, the rumors turned out to be wrong. We actually didn't even discuss our leaving. I was still feeling skeptical, and I inquired about all the rumors that I had been hearing about. They assured us that we weren't going to be asked to leave. Everything was going to be okay. I felt a little better, but sometimes I felt uneasy. I knew that I would have to stick it out, even if the country was at war. As funny as it sounds, Disney is truly an American icon, so I couldn't think of a better place to be at a time like that. So I stayed. President Bush was president at the time of the terrorist attacks on September 11th, and he actually encouraged people to go to Walt Disney World during that tough time. And I don't think anyone could have given better advice. It was a great place to be. One of my most memorable moments from Disney World was the night that my roommates and I went to Pleasure Island, just a few nights after the attacks of September 11th, which I was really into dancing at that time, and the thought of going out dancing now sounds like a nightmare. Anyways, after dancing for a few hours, everyone walked out into the main area of Pleasure Island for the "You Ain't Gotta Go Home, But You Gotta Get the Hell Out of Here" kind of song, you know? Normally, they play Closing Time or another popular song. Although, this night was a bit different. On this particular evening, there was a ton of people at Pleasure Island, which is no longer in existence. Anyways, we all gathered out on the rainy street, arm in arm, and watched as they played God Bless America on the screen. I want to say it was maybe Whitney Houston singing it. Black or white, girl or boy, it didn't matter. We all united that night, hugged each other, and swayed back and forth, singing a song that means a lot to this country. It was amazing. We were together. Some people were crying, myself included. I will never forget that night. The rain was falling and created this beautiful mist surrounding a group of kids from all over the world. Something about me was different after that horrible day. Maybe it was something about how I thought about my family, thought about my friends. Maybe it was how I thought about my life. I realized that I had to start being more positive about everything and everyone in my life. I had to let go of what was negative because something changed me that day. And in some small way, I don't think I'll ever be the same. Chapter 15, A Life-Changing Experience. Time started to fly by, and eventually, in so many ways, working and living at Disney made me different. I was away from home and exposed to something that I thought I knew a lot about, but I didn't: independence. I had to pay my own bills, do my own grocery shopping, wash my own clothes, keep myself busy. I had no friends in Florida when I first started the college program, but by halfway through, I had tons. There were the amazing people I worked with, along with some amazing roommates. I was shy and scared when I first arrived at Walt Disney World, but soon I became happier than I had ever been in my entire life. I felt like a kid again. I didn't have to worry about school. I didn't have to worry about anything. I had great roommates and great friends from work. I couldn't have been more content. After being in Florida for about 3 months, I had a natural happiness that just didn't seem to go away. I began to love my life in Florida more than I had before. I cannot explain how good that felt, to finally have that. I think that a part of that stayed with me, even when I eventually had to leave, 2 months later. Soon I stopped obsessing about being home and all that my life entailed there. I was working at Disney World, dancing at clubs at night, yikes, and having a great time. There was always an event to go to, a friend's apartment to hang out at, someone to teach dance moves to, or a park to visit. It was amazing. My mother came to visit me during Thanksgiving, and as happy as I was to have her there, I still wasn't ready to come home. I still had so much to see and so much to do. Chapter 16. I won't be home for Christmas, or any other holiday for that matter. What a dumb chapter title. Anyways, I knew going into the college program that I would be working all holidays, but at the time it didn't bother me. I figured, hey, I would be in Disney World, no big deal. Halloween came and went, and that was no big deal at all. Thanksgiving came and thankfully I got to spend that with my mother, which was good. But before I knew it, Christmas was right around the corner. On the one hand, I felt that it was Christmas, I should be home. But on the other hand, I saw that Christmas meant that I only had about 2 weeks left on the program. I was beginning to get really sad when I thought about having to leave. I didn't want to go. All of us in the Emporium knew that once Christmas hit, we would begin working insane hours. I was prepared to work over 60 hours a week. When I looked at the schedule, however, I was getting ready to do something else, working in Fantasyland. I was pretty pissed at first. I was mad because I wanted to work in the Emporium where I had worked for the last 4 months for the remaining time I was in Disney. I thought, if they were going to make me work somewhere else, why didn't they do this to me earlier? I got lucky, though, because I was not the only one from the Emporium who was sent to work in Fantasyland. Three of my good friends, Xena, Sarai, and Andrew, would all be working with me. It turned out to be not so bad after all. While all of my friends were working 6 days a week with 10.5-hour shifts, I was working in a completely different area with completely different hours. Unlike all the shops on Main Street, which stay open hours and hours after the park closes, in Fantasyland, when the park closes, so do the doors of the stores. I loved it. I couldn't believe it. All of us from the Emporium laughed when we saw the doors close so early. No more closing duties, no more blocked walkways, no more insanity. It was a nice break. While all of our friends were pulling their hair out at the Emporium, we were relaxing in a much slower-paced location. Sure, we missed everybody, but we didn't miss an overcapacity-filled store. On Christmas Eve, I got to do something that I had never done before. I worked outside. I worked alone in a cart with no one or managers to bother me. I loved it. I got to watch the fireworks over Cinderella Castle. I got to watch all the different people go by. Sure, I looked like an idiot in my shin-length blue chicken skirt with gym shoes, which gym shoes is what we call sneakers in the Midwest, and clashing gray velvet jacket. Very nice. But at least I was outside. Christmas morning, my roommates and I all woke up early and exchanged presents in front of our construction paper fireplace and Christmas light-shaped Christmas tree. I could tell from the presents that I gave to them, and also the ones that I received, that we had all gotten to know each other really well. I was getting closer to the end, and I thought of that in the back of my mind. Working on Christmas Day was a completely different story. Christmas Day was probably the best day I had at work during my entire stay in Florida. On this particular day, I got to work in the Winnie the Pooh store, which is located at the exit of the attraction. I got to work with other Emporium CPs. We had so much fun. For once, we didn't have to merchantain because the store was so small and so crowded that you had no other option but to stand behind the register. It was insane. Each and every person who rides this ride has no other choice but to exit through the store. The ride is continually running, so of course the store was always, always busy. The highlight of the evening had to be when Zena told me about a guest who was riding a scooter, lost control of it, and crashed into a wall full of Winnie the Pooh picture frames. I tried to hold back the laughter as I rung up guests. Once again, you could not maneuver through the store, and whenever a guest asked for something that was in the stock room a mere 10 feet away, it took half an hour to get it. It was so strange to go into the stock room because from there you could overhear the sounds of Winnie the Pooh and all of his friends talking from the ride. Only a small wall separated me and the attraction. Very odd, but cool at the same time. In addition, on the holidays, a lot of the guests who visited the park did not speak English, so that proved to be a little bit of a difficult task. Although it was cold and rainy, Christmas Day at Walt Disney World did prove to be pretty magical. I got to work alongside some of my good friends, and that kept my spirits up even though I was 1,000 miles away from home. I talked to my family that night and wished them all a Merry Christmas, and as much as I thought I would be upset, I really wasn't. Working at Disney World on Christmas was truly a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I tried to make the most of my last 2 weeks in Florida. My roommates and I all became very close as we got closer to the end. We started spending more time with each other. We went out to dinner, stayed up late talking and reminiscing and just enjoying the small amount of time that we had left. At the end of January, my father, stepmother, and sister all arrived in Florida to visit and also to bring me home. I was extremely happy to see them, but once again, I felt like I wasn't ready to go home. Amazingly, on New Year's Eve, I got out of work at 5:30, so for the first time in almost 3 years, I would actually be able to do something, because I always worked on New Year's Eve in the hospitality industry. After my manager gave me my certificate of completion from the college program and an excellent review, which I still have, it was time to meet my family. We had a nice dinner at the Wilderness Lodge, where I believe my sister was forced to ride a horse toy around the restaurant. And after we watched the fireworks from another one of my favorite spots in Disney World, the Polynesian Resort. And from this palm tree-lined walkway, you get an excellent view of Cinderella Castle. Friends back home watched the fireworks on television, but I was just 100 feet away. New Year's meant I only had 3 days left in my favorite place in the world. I cried as I watched the most amazing display of pyrotechnics I've ever seen in my entire life. And that's saying a lot because I'm not a big fan of fireworks. My theory is about fireworks and parades that once you've seen one, you've seen them all. Sorry, not sorry. Chapter 17, My Last Day and Night on the Walt Disney World College Program. On January 2nd, 2002, I went to work at the Magic Kingdom for the very last time. The day stands out so vividly in my mind because it was the day I had to say goodbye to all that I had known for the last 5 months. I started very early that morning at about 8 a.m. Since so many people had to come to visit for Christmas and New Year's, it was very busy. I was a runner that day, Basically, a runner is someone whose job it is to get all the hangers at each of the registers, collect any merchandise that is to be delivered to a resort, and to bring items like pre-boxed picture frames to cast members who are working at the registers. Being a runner was my favorite job in the Emporium for two very important reasons. One, you didn't have to talk to guests as much, whoops, and you didn't have to wear the god-awful skirt and shirt. Since I was an opening runner, I got offered an ER or early release. I knew that I wanted to walk around the Magic Kingdom since it was the last time I would be able to, so I took them up on their offer. It seemed bad to leave early on my last day, but I felt like I needed to see the park for the last time. I made sure to take plenty of pictures with all of my favorite fellow cast members before I left. I never realized how much I loved working with them until I wouldn't be doing that anymore. Each person was so unique and so different. After taking pictures for hours and hours, I went downstairs to change into my regular clothes so that I could walk around the Magic Kingdom. I walked down that hallway that seemed to last forever. I went to the armpit and Frito-reeking locker room to change for the very last time. I walked past hundreds and hundreds of green, blue, and red lockers and finally arrived at 10:23. I pulled out a blue and brown plaid skirt, an off-white pirate shirt, and a purple bow tie. I took off my navy blue runner pants and Magic Kingdom shirt and put it on top of the other costume. I put my name tags into my purse, which I just laughed that I actually carried a purse at one time because you will not catch me with one now. Anyways, I took my four-month-old stinky black gym shoes and threw them right into the garbage because they smelled really bad. I took one last look at my little red locker, covered in Mickey stickers, and closed it shut and smiled. It was really the end. I was officially done. No longer was I a cast member at Walt Disney World. I was a guest. I headed back up the hallway into the back entrance of the Emporium. After taking even more pictures, I headed out into the park for the last time. It was a rather cold night, but I didn't let it bother me. Even though the park was extremely crowded, I still managed to have a wonderful night. I went on the attractions that didn't have long lines and just tried to take it all in, everything that was surrounding me. I wanted to hold that feeling in me forever, the feeling that no matter how hard life seems to be, you have to keep a positive attitude, and with that, you can really do anything. I walked around for a few more hours, nibbled on a pretzel for my favorite pretzel stand, and sat down to watch Spectra Magic, the nighttime parade that I only got to watch from the store. I snagged a spot about a half an hour in advance to make sure that I had a good view. The lights on Main Street began to turn off, and I was anxiously anticipating this magnificent show. I soon found myself watching the parade sitting between two little kids on either side of me. But I knew, in a way, I was a kid too. The parade started coming down Main Street, and with all the kids around me screaming with excitement, I was even happier to be there. Being the emotionally attached person that I am, I got a little teary-eyed. It was a perfect ending to my last day of work. I don't think I've ever felt as high as I did that day. I don't think working at Disney was as important to anyone else as it was to me. I went straight home after the parade finished, and as I drove home, I couldn't believe that the next night would be my last. I had greatly anticipated the internship at Walt Disney World, but I had never expected it to change my life as much as it did. I arrived back at Chatham Square that night and once again took it all in that was around me. I could still not get over that I was leaving. I didn't want it to end. I didn't want to leave my life in Florida. I didn't want to leave my roommates. I didn't want to leave my friends. I didn't want to leave this kind of happiness. The next day I woke up, and after visiting with my family for the day, I returned back to my apartment. My roommates and I all went out to dinner that night at Bennigan's. Heck yeah. Where this whole journey began. That's where we went on our very first night. I remember how, when we had all first met, we were so different. Now it seemed like we were old friends. It was a happy time, yet so sad I couldn't take it. My roommate, Gina, cried almost the entire night. I told Gina, Karen, and Maggie that no matter what happened, I was so happy that they had been my roommates. I wouldn't have changed anything about my experience. They had impacted my life in such a positive way that I couldn't imagine my life without them. We took a lot of pictures and looked back on all that had happened the last 5 months. How could we forget the pranks we played on the guys downstairs? Dancing to silly songs, skateboarding in the parking lot, dissing Disney, singing about everything and decorating our apartment for various occasions. After a long dinner filled with laughter and tears, it was time to go back to our apartment so that I could start packing up my car. Karen and Gina sat in silence as I ran back and forth to my car. I saw my breath in the sky as I lugged box after box downstairs. My room soon became empty. All that was left was my bed, nightstand, and dresser. Everything else was gone. Much to my surprise, it all fit into the car. It took literally hours to pack up my car since everyone came to visit me. I actually left the program a few days earlier than my roommates since school started so early for me. So in a way, I don't think we were prepared to say goodbye. After I finished packing up my car, my roommates and I all group hugged for a while, cried, and then I went to sleep in my apartment, in my bed, for the very last time. I woke up early next morning, sat up in my bed, and looked around. My room was completely empty. It gave me a weird feeling. I had spent 5 of the best months of my life laughing, crying, and living in this apartment, and now there was no sign of my presence. I got up, ate breakfast, and waited for the housing department to come and inspect my apartment before I could leave. On the kitchen counter lay my Disney ID, Chatham Square ID, and the key to my apartment. Before the inspectors came, Gina, Maggie, and Karen all woke up to visit with me before I had to leave. I gave them all muffins I had bought the night before and told them again how lucky I felt to have been their roommate. I passed room inspection, turned in my IDs, key, and linens, and a few minutes later, I would have to leave, pick up my dad, and begin my trip back home. Gina started hugging me over and over again and sobbing uncontrollably. It made me really, really sad. I tried to stay strong and not cry. I had to be strong for her, I felt. Maggie started crying too and said that having to say goodbye to everyone really sucks, which was exactly right. One of the last things that Maggie said to me and to my other roommates is, I think this internship could be summed up with a line from Green Day. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. That was most certainly true. I hugged them all again, told them that we'd keep in touch, and headed out the door. After taking one last look at my apartment complex, I drove to the hotel to pick up my dad to begin the trip back home. I remember listening to Madonna's I'll Remember as I reflected on all that had happened to me over the past 5 amazing months. We had a 20-hour trip ahead of us, but I knew that it would give me a time to think, a time to remember, and a time to remind myself how lucky I was. I hope you've enjoyed this continued look back at my experience working at Walt Disney World when I was just a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Walt Disney World-obsessed young adult. And I'm still a Walt Disney World-obsessed middle-aged adult. Anyways, whenever I meet a new person, one thing they quickly learn about me is not only am I obsessed with everything Disney, but that I worked there for a very lengthy 5 months, no less, 20 years ago. Not my recent work with kids for, you know, the past 2 decades, but rather my internship program that I did when I was a teenager. Anyways, working there and living there had an incredibly positive impact on my life. First and foremost, I think the most important thing that came out of it was my friendships with my roommates who have really become my 3 older sisters in a way. Secondly, I think the college program forced me to step out of my comfort zone to have to problem solve things on my own and enhanced my people skills, which is truly an invaluable skill. I've always described myself as an extroverted introvert, and this experience allowed me to come out of my shell a bit. You can teach people how to use a POS, piece of shit, cash register and how to ring up 6 piglets, but you can't really teach someone how to interact with the public, especially under high stress. I left my job there, feeling incredibly confident, ready to take on the world. I really felt like I could do anything, which sounds really corny, but that's exactly how I felt. And that was an incredible feeling to have as an 18-year-old when you're not feeling very confident sometimes. I was fearless. The final thing that made my experience unforgettable was my presence and appreciation for being in the program. Tons and tons of college students were forced to leave the program due to underage drinking or breaking the rules around visitors or work attendance. I think one of the girls that lived upstairs from us actually had to leave. Time and time again, I'd hear about someone making a bad choice and being kicked out of the program. I just couldn't understand how anyone could take this experience for granted. I felt like I had my whole life ahead of me to drink and party. Why would I want to do that now when I was not even of age and when I had 47 square miles of adventure awaiting me all over Walt Disney World? I would be damned if I was going to be forced to leave my favorite place in the entire world over going to some stupid party. when other kids were hanging out at someone's apartment doing God knows what, and probably watching some dudes playing video games, boring. I was out with my roommates and my friends visiting the parks and all of the resorts. When I wasn't working, I was enjoying the bike path at the Caribbean Beach Resort or checking out the holiday decorations at the Grand Floridian. Or as we like to call it at the time, the G-Flow. Anyways, I visited every resort at least once during my time there and took advantage of my free park admission every week. I was in heaven. And to that end, in 2001, none of us had cell phones or social media. We went to the parks and took pictures with our film cameras so that we could treasure our memories in our photo albums, not post them online to see how many likes we could get. I was present. My roommates were present. And I just love that. When I graduated from high school, my mom gave me an incredible gift, an analog video camera, aka not digital, had tapes in it to record on. I filmed everything, and I mean everything, when I was in Disney World. I filmed my apartment. I filmed us playing pranks on the guys who lived below us. I filmed confessionals, kind of mimicking the real world from MTV. I filmed myself walking through the parks and riding attractions. I filmed myself walking around the Emporium. Years later, I was able to convert all those analog videos into digital and made a 1.5 hour long video out of it. And guess what? When I'm feeling down or miss my friends and my time there, I just pop that in and reminisce. I remember one of the greatest times of my life and how it felt to dream about something as a child and have that dream come true. Which again, I know sounds cheesy, but that is exactly how I felt. Remember to take photos and take videos. Even if your hair is a mess and you hate the way you look, you won't regret it. I think that's part of the reason why I have become so enamored with photography the last few years. Sometimes you realize the photographs and the video clips are all that you have left of someone and you can't put a price on memories. And on the other hand, kids grow up quickly and it's important that we freeze moments in time even if they are not posed and your kids are dirty and their clothes don't match. You can't put a price on memories and sometimes the best captured moments are the ones that weren't planned. I can thank my dad for filming everything because he filmed me and my sister all the time when we were kids. It drove me nuts as a kid, but as an adult, seeing my sister and hearing her voice on camera and other family members we have lost is incredibly bittersweet. I hope you'll join me for my next show where we will do our final installment in honor of Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary, while I will teach you 25 things, or possibly more, that you may not know about Walt Disney World. Until then, be kind, be safe, and hold on to your memories.